The Coram Deo Church community is a missional church rooted in historic biblical Christianity and committed to engaging an ever-changing culture. We hope the message you're about to hear spurs you towards spiritual formation and mission and helps you delight in Christ alone. Thanks for listening.
All right, so in these verses, there's two main themes that we can see here. First, you see right away in verse 8 that Paul is giving thanksgiving for the Roman church. And then second, he is praying for the Roman church and praying specifically for a visit to them, and then goes on to talk about why he wants to make that visit. So remember, Romans is a book about the gospel that God saves sinners. So we know that from studying all of Romans. From the big picture, we see that that's the theme of Romans. Well, when we look through smaller texts or smaller parts of that book, we need to keep that in mind so that we can see what is it that God is telling us through these verses this morning about the gospel. I believe that this passage sheds some light on what it means for us as a church to live in light of the gospel. From this passage, we can learn what a gospel-centered church looks like. If we are centered in the fact that Jesus is our only hope, we will be a gospel-centered church. So now let's look at four characteristics that will lead to a gospel-centered church. First, a gospel-centered church will be known. Look at verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. Why is Paul giving thanks for this church in Rome? He goes on to say, because your faith is being reported all over the world. Paul's commending them here. For what? Their faith. What is their faith in? It's in Jesus Christ. It's in the gospel. The Roman church believed Jesus for their salvation. And what did that belief do? It gave them faith that was so great, they were known all over the world. Let me ask you a question. What kind of faith gets known? What kind of faith leads to a church being known all over the world? I want to give a few examples just from different churches around the world. And some of you have maybe heard about China, and it's just a closed country. And so Christianity isn't freely practiced. But in China, where they're persecuted and sometimes imprisoned for their faith, there's house churches springing up all over the country. And thousands of people have come to Christ in the last decade. That's a faith that's known. That's a faith that's real, where people are believe so strongly in something that they're willing to face imprisonment, to face persecution. In Indonesia, it's very similar. It's a Muslim country. And so extreme Muslims will persecute and kill and torture Christians. This month's magazine, Voice of the Martyrs, on the front cover, it said, doors nailed shut, but the church is open. And it went on to tell a story about a church in Indonesia who they showed up one Sunday morning, and the doors of their church had been nailed shut. And instead of going home discouraged or instead of it running away scared, they stayed and they worshiped right there in front of the church on the steps. They came back again and they had just destroyed the property, put mud all over to try and discourage these people from worshiping at the church. So they moved out into the street and continued on to worship. That's faith that is known. They were often persecuted and had people in their congregation killed, family members killed. Those who had come to Christ out of Muslim families were rejected. But their faith was real. And they continue to practice and they continue to worship and seek Jesus Christ. And so we hear those stories of great faith all the way back here in Omaha, Nebraska. How about in the United States? Couple churches here, that are known for their faith. You often hear us talk about Tim Keller and Redeemer Church out in New York. And they've decided that instead of removing themselves from the city and just all the crime and everything that exists within the city, that they're going to plant themselves right in the midst of the city and try and reform it and try and bring change from inside out. And on top of that, their model has now encouraged hundreds of churches all over the United States to do similar actions, including us. John Piper's church, Bethlehem Baptist, up in Minneapolis, has become known for a church that preaches the gospel and preaches God's glory. And so John Piper's been known to be one of the, maybe the greatest theologians of our time when it comes to talking about the glory of God. And that just gets me excited when I think, what a reputation. Could Coram Deo be a place where we're known for bringing glory to God? Where our people are known for being so excited and so passionate about their faith that it glorifies God. That is our supreme goal in life, the thing that we strive after. Coram Deo, are we a community that has that kind of faith? Is our faith a faith that will be known? Are we willing to serve our city? Are we willing to take our faith and practice obedience? And to serve the poor and to bring justice and to love people? Will we be a church that's faith is known? Secondly, a gospel-centered church will have great community. Look at verse 11. That I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. Now, a lot of people think here that impart some spiritual gift, Paul's talking about charismatic gifts. That he's going to come and bring signs and wonders, maybe bring the Holy Spirit, and people are going to start speaking in tongues, and there's going to be miracles and all these things. And although those things did happen in the early church, and Paul often did do miracles, I don't think that's what he's talking about here this morning. I think that he's talking about his spiritual gifts in the sense of the gifts that he can bring to the body. And Paul's not talking about a one-sided imparting here. It's almost as if he catches himself. Look at verse 12. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. And so what Paul's talking about is using his spiritual gifts of preaching and teaching to build up the body. And he wants to come to Rome and he wants to use those gifts. He wants to teach them and tell them about the gospel and train them. And in turn, he wants to receive their gifts. He wants to receive the things that they're excited about and the things that they do well, so that it's mutual encouragement. When the gospel becomes real in our lives, we realize that Jesus is our only hope. When I understand the gospel, I understand that I'm no better than anybody else. I'm no better than the worst crack addict, drug dealer, or whatever else on the streets. I'm just another guy who needs Jesus, who needs the gospel. I need the gospel to change me. And so when I realize that, and I start living that out and realizing I'm no better, it frees me. It helps me realize that I don't have to necessarily prove myself to people. I don't have to earn my way to heaven. I realize that Jesus is my only hope. And so then, when I think about people, I can love them fully, without reservation, and just point them to Jesus because I don't need their approval because I'm fine. I'm happy in myself. Jesus' approval is enough for me. And so when we talk about community and we come together as a church, if we all come understanding the gospel and understanding that we're no better than anyone else, that we're just another person who needs Jesus. We can come together and love each other fully as Jesus loves us. Not having to judge each other, not have to look down and just, we can open ourselves up because we're not scared, we're free. See, our giftedness serves the body. My giftedness, your giftedness, serves the body. And what keeps us from having great community is when we let our own fears and reservations keep us from imparting our spiritual gifts to each other. When we will open ourselves up and begin to live out of the gospel and live out of an understanding that Jesus is my only hope, that He is my only chance, and start loving each other, we will have great community. Coram Deo will become a place that is known for true community. One of the ways that we try to live this out here at Coram Deo is we have different groups called missional communities that are meeting throughout the week. And we actually consider these groups to kind of be the key part of our church, the foundation of our church. And I actually got a little flyer here. We just got these made up this week, so please, on your way out, grab one of these flyers and see the different communities that are going on in our church. And if you're not connected to one, there's a phone number of different leaders, and it says the times and the days of the week that they meet and kind of the area of town that they meet in. So please, get connected to one of our missional communities. And if you have any questions, just come up and find me or Ivy and talk to us after the service about how you guys can get involved in a missional community. Because we take very serious the need to get together during the week and to not just be Christians that show up on Sundays and hear a message and then go on with our lives and then next week we put on our Sunday clothes and come back down and have service. We want to be people that live out what we believe during the week. And so, I just want to tell you a little bit about my missional community and just the ways that we've started to try and practice this and try to live out the gospel and just the encouragement that's come from that. We meet on Tuesday nights and we come together and we have a meal and dinner and then we talk about what we learned in that week's sermon and what's going on in our lives and just trying to encourage each other in following Christ. And so in the last few weeks, we've been trying to start using the different people's gifts within our community. And so Tracy is an organizational like guru. And so like Excel personally makes me cuss. And she knows how to use Excel. And so she puts it all, like, takes all the people and their information and puts it in there and then designates who's supposed to bring salad on what night and all that kind of cool stuff. And it's great because I can't do that. And she's gifted organizationally. I'm not. And so that's awesome. And Justin's gifted leadership-wise. So he's been starting to take, we'll break into groups and he'll take a group and starting using his leadership gifts. Ivy's gifted with service. She just serves. She's running to Sam's Club and grabbing paper plates and all the things that we need. Lots of people are bringing food and serving in that way. Cooper's a gourmet chef, and he's been, you know, trading recipes with all the girls each week. So, if you want to get some great recipes, talk to Tyler after the service and get those from him. And we're just kind of starting this missional community. We're just getting into it. And so I'm excited to continue to figure out what different people's gifts are and how we can use those to serve us, serve each other. And so far, though, it's been great. We don't have it figured out. And it'll only continue to be a good community if we come to each other believing the gospel and coming to serve and coming to be served. Here on Coram Deo on Sunday mornings, tons of you serve to make this possible. The sound guys and the media guys come each week. And, yeah, we're kind of ragging on them this morning because stuff's not working. But that's all right. Those guys get here earlier than everyone else every single week. And this stuff's not easy to use and put together. And so they serve in that way. And they use their gifts. Hillary and Suzanne help organize and lead the children's ministry so that you parents can drop your kids off and feel completely safe that they're well taken care of and come out here and worship with us. It's such an awesome ministry, and it benefits the body. And many of you set up and tear down. And it's been so encouraging to me as I've had those of you, you've been in Coramdale a while just visiting, and then you've said, hey, I want to plug in. I want to be more a part. Can I serve? And you come on that first Sunday morning to set up, and I've just heard several comments afterwards. Wow, I had no idea what went into this. I had no idea how much it took. And so that just makes me excited because we serve each other as a body each week, just making this happen. Thirdly, a gospel-centered church will love dynamically. Look at verse 14 with me. I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. A better translation of the word obligated would be in debt. The Greek is more closely translated to in debt. Paul is saying, I am in debt to Greeks and to non-Greeks, to wise and to the foolish. Why is Paul in debt? Why does he feel like he has something that he owes these people? These people that he's never even met before. To find that out, I think there's a clue if we go all the way back and look in verse 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. Paul is in debt because he has been changed by the gospel. We know Paul that was one of the worst of sinners. He was a Pharisee. He was one of the religious order in Israel. And he hated Christians with a vengeance. And he traveled around the country persecuting Christians and trying to find them out so he could have them killed or tortured. And then what happened in Paul's life? The gospel happened. He met Jesus and was completely transformed. He was changed from an angry, church-going, Bible-carrying, hoity-toity, legalist into a man on mission. A man on Jesus' mission. He was changed from being religious and obeying to having faith that now led to his obedience. And so now instead of persecuting people because of his faith, he risked being killed himself to bring the gospel to the world. Paul was set apart for the gospel. The love of Jesus had impacted him. And when we allow the gospel to confront us and show us our messiness, show us our weakness and how much we need Jesus and can't do it on our own, it will impact us too. What kind of people here in Romans 1 was Paul saying he was in debt to? To all people. He was in debt to the Greeks and the non-Greeks, to the wise and to the foolish. What's that mean? Well, if you know anything about history, at that time, the Roman Empire was the center of the world, and Greek culture was the dominating culture of the world. And it was the educated, the elite, the wealthy that were considered Greek. And the non-Greeks were the rest of society. They were the Jews. They were the uneducated, the uncultured, the poor, the lower class. And so when Paul comes to Rome He says, I'm coming and I'm in debt, not just to the rich. And on the other hand, not just in debt to the poor, but to both. I come in debt to all people because of what Christ has done in my life. I come to proclaim Him to all people. And to be able to minister to all people, the gospel has to impact you to love dynamically. You have to be transformed into a person that is able to love in dynamic ways. And I don't think there's any way that you can do that on your own. Only with the help of Jesus. And so what do I mean when I say dynamic love? I'm talking about people who love so much that they care nothing for themselves. That they're willing, as Paul, to be whipped, to be beaten, to be robbed, shipwrecked, and almost drowned in order to take the gospel to other people. Dynamic lovers care about people. They love people. They go out of their way to find ways to love people. They aren't concerned whether somebody is rich or poor, educated or uneducated, has a job or doesn't have a job, goes to church or doesn't go to church. Are you a dynamic lover? Is Coram Deo a church that loves dynamically? Do we really love our city? Or do we just drive down here on Sunday mornings and run inside the walls real quick so we can get with our friends, get with the people we know, talk about Jesus, sing some songs, have fun, and then run back out to our cars and drive home? Do we actually get down here? Do we get into our city? Do we engage with the people of our city? Do we love the homeless? Do we love the refugees in our city? Do we love the rich? Do we minister to the businessmen? Which side are you on? Who are your people? And are you willing to step out and to love those different than yourself? To love dynamically. Jesus is our example. He was the ultimate lover. And He's where we'll find the strength and the energy to love dynamically. The fourth characteristic of a gospel-centered church is that it will constantly immerse itself in the gospel. The only way that we'll actually be a gospel-centered church is if we continue to talk about it, if we continue to teach it to each other, if we continue to hold each other accountable to living it out. Look at verse 15. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome. Wait a minute. That doesn't make sense. We already know that the Roman church was a great church. It was a church that already believed in Jesus. It believed in Jesus so much that its faith was known all over the world. So why in the world would Paul, whose mission is to take gospel to those who don't believe, need to take the gospel to the Roman church? Now, I think most people probably realize that, read that passage, and they're like, JD, you're off your rocker, man. Paul is going to Rome. It says in verse 14 that he wants a harvest. He's going to preach to people who don't know Jesus. I don't think so. If you know Paul, you know, yeah, he's probably going to do that. But I don't think that's his only mission here. I don't think that he's going to Rome just to preach to Gentiles. I think he's going to Rome to teach the church how to live out the gospel so that they can reach the Gentiles in Rome. We see Paul eager to come preach the gospel, eager to impart his gifts to them. He's so eager that he's writing everything he wants to tell them in a letter that he's sending to them and saying, I want to come tell you then what I've already told you in a letter. Paul is all about the gospel. It consumes him. And he must think that the gospel is for more than just non-Christians. He must think that a church who already believes needs to continue to hear it. Why? Because the gospel, the saving grace of Jesus, is for Christians too. It's not a gate that we pass through. It's not a hurdle that we jump over. The gospel is something that we live in. It's the path that we walk on. It's the sail that pulls us into transformation. We constantly have to live and preach the gospel to each other. If we're not immersed in the gospel as a church, we won't be able to love dynamically. We won't be able to have faith that is known through the world. We won't be able to have faith that glorifies God. When we realize that we need the gospel, that it's our only hope, that Jesus is our only hope, and it's the thing that we have to continue to live in and to teach to each other and to love each other, that's when we'll be freed to really live. That's when we'll be freed to live like Paul, to be a church like Paul. A church and people that are set apart, that care nothing for themselves, that they love dynamically, that they're willing to do whatever it takes to impact their city. They're willing to do whatever it takes to love those around them, their co-workers, their friends, their husbands, their wives, their family. What does it mean to live like Paul? It means that we'll be a church that is known for its faith. We'll be a church that has great community. We'll be a church that loves dynamically. And we'll be a church that is gospel-centered, that immerses itself in the gospel. Let's bring it down to more of a personal level this morning. Some of you are sitting here and you're just coming to check out church. This is your first time in Corumdale, or maybe you're not even sure what you think about Jesus. And I want to encourage you, if that's where you're at this morning, that you need to decide. You have a decision to make in your life about whether you're going to accept the gospel. Are you going to quit trying so hard to do this life on your own? And are you going to accept the grace and the love of Jesus? Are you going to quit trying to just obey and somehow earn favor with God and earn your salvation? Or are you going to start from a place of faith, a place of belief? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Some of us, we've been a part of Corumdale for a long time. We helped start Corumdale. And we have a decision as well. We need to decide again and every day. Are we going to help this church? Are we going to help be a part of a gospel-centered church? A church is made up of individuals. And so I ask you, are you personally someone that is known for your faith? Do people want to be around you because they feel like they have such good community with you? Because you're willing to step out of yourself and impart your spiritual gifts to share the things that God's gifted you with? Are you someone that loves dynamically? Or do you avoid the people that are different than you? Do you avoid the people that you just don't gel with? Or do you go out of your way to try and find how you can serve them and how you can love them and allow them to serve you? Are you yourself immersed in the gospel? Are you in the Word? Are you reading Romans? Are you taking Bob's challenge to get through Romans? A book about the gospel, that's probably a good starting spot to immerse yourself in the gospel, is to read it. Are you in community with people? Or do you hide? Do you not let anybody really get in and get to know you? Do you immerse yourself in community that cares about the gospel? Because community that cares about the gospel is not just fun. It's messy. Because it means that we care so much about you that we'll push in on you. And we'll try and find what's going on, really going on in your life. We'll try and find out the things where you still need to be transformed. And then hold you to that and encourage you to that end. Are you willing to immerse yourself in the gospel?
We hope you've enjoyed this message. For more information about Coram Deo, visit our website at cdomaha.com.